Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday entitled, How to Receive God's Best. And yesterday, and I'm going to do this probably for about the first week's worth of broadcast, I'm just going to be saying some introductory remarks about this, that before I can teach people how to receive God's best, they've got to set it as a goal to receive God's best. They've got to start shooting for God's best. And I really have found that most people are not even trying for God's best. They are settling for less, and because of it, you cannot obtain the good things that God has for you as long as you're willing to settle for less. So the very first thing I'm trying to do is to elevate our expectations, to get us to where we aren't satisfied with second best. We aren't satisfied with some degree of failure. Boy, that should not be for the Christian. And yet, sad to say, most Christians have been more influenced by the world than they've been influenced by the Word of God. I don't think there could be much argument over that if people would be honest and think about it. But the average Christian today spends more time being influenced by the world than they are by the Word of God. And so because of it, we've just accepted a lot of things that are commonly accepted by people that don't know God. And Christians are basically living the same type of life as non-Christians are. That's a sad thing to say, but it's absolutely true. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Amen. I mean, honestly, Christians are just about as sick as non-Christians. Now, some of you, as I go through some of these things, you're going to take offense by it. And I ended my program yesterday by saying this. I am not trying to condemn anybody. If you find yourself living less than what God wants you to live, I'm not condemning you or saying that God's upset at you or that you're in sin or any of these kind of things. But as long as you embrace the same poor standards that non-believers have, and if this is what you expect, if you think that Christianity is nothing but you getting an insurance policy so that if you die, you don't just cease to exist, but instead you go to heaven. And if you think that Christianity is all about heaven, and if you don't understand, like it says in Galatians, that Jesus gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, not the world that's to come, not just heaven and hell issues, but Jesus died to provide financial prosperity for us, to see our needs met, to heal your body, to set you free from the sadness and the depression and the discouragement that the world has. See, if you just think that all of Christianity is for the future, well then, I guess you could accept that all we are is just a sinner saved by grace. We're just a forgiven sinner, and so basically we're going to have the same problems and fears, phobias, everything that the world has. But if you read the Word of God, the people who truly had relationship with the Word of God and served God, God has provided better things for us in this life. Not just in the world to come, but in this life, God has provided victory for us. He has provided that you can walk in divine health, that you can prosper in whatever you set your hand unto. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you've meditated in the Word day and night, then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." That's not talking about in heaven. That's talking about in this life. God will prosper you. And I could give you hundreds of examples in the Word of God of people who served God and God caused what they set their hand unto to prosper. That's even one of the blessings that was spoken over people in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that whatever you set your hand unto will prosper. It's one of the commands. And yet there's so many Christians that are looking around, and because there's a recession going on and because the world, the people that don't know God, are panicking and operating in fear, there's so many Christians that just expect that, well, what can I expect? You know, after all, I'm only human. and they see themselves as being just like a person that doesn't know God. That's wrong. The Bible says, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You do not have to suffer just because of the economy of the nation that you live in. God can meet your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I know that there's many of you right now, just in your mind, intellectually, you are fighting and resisting what I'm saying, and you're saying that is not true. You can't live that way. Well, don't wake me up. This is how I'm living. And I'm not talking about just our ministry. Sometimes people think, well, you preachers, everybody just gives you everything. You don't have to work for a living. You know, I'm not even going to honor that by a answer to that. Let me say that I also have personal finances. Jamie and I have personal things that are outside of the ministry. And did you know that since the so-called global recession has hit, the stock market went down, I think it was at the end of 2008, first part of 2009, the stock market went down over 50%. Did you know in the first 6 months after everything was going in the tank and people were panicking, we made 61% profit in the stock market that went down 50%. Our stocks went up 61%. Some of you think, you can't do that. Well, I did it. It's a fact. You're going to have to sit there and call me a liar to say that it didn't work. If you are trusting God, God will supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And yet there are a lot of Christians, I dare to even say the majority of Christians, didn't expect for God to still prosper you. When the world finances dropped, when the economy goes down in your area, most Christians will just think, well, you know, it's going to happen to me too. And because of that, you don't receive God's best because you see yourself as only human. You haven't been influenced by the Word of God, where it gives example after example. You know, in the very beginning of 2009, one of the first things I did was take Genesis chapter 26, where Isaac was in a famine, and he sowed in a year of famine when other people gave up. They forsook the land. They went down to Egypt where there was the Nile River, and there was food down there, and they just didn't even try. And God told Isaac to stay in that land and plant his crops in a year of drought when nobody else was planting. But he had a word from God, and he did what God told him to do, and it says that he sowed and in that same year received a hundredfold return. You know, a hundredfold return is about the maximum you can get. That's good for even a good year, but in a year of drought, it was awesome. Plus, everybody else had forsaken the land, had gone down to Egypt, and then people that were staying there, nobody even planted their crops. What was the use? It was a drought. So not only did he have a hundredfold return, but then he had a corner on the market, and because of it, Isaac became one of the wealthiest men of his day because he didn't go by what everybody else said. He had a word from God, acted on it, and he prospered. Likewise, we have words from God. That's what this Bible is. And He said, I will bless whatever you set your hand unto, that God will supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that though Jesus was rich, yet for your sake He became poor so that you through His poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And on it could go. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, I could just go on and on and on, but I'm saying that most people, they don't believe that these promises are for all of us. They aren't shooting for God's best. They see somebody in the Bible, they hear me give a testimony, and they think, well, you're just different. And they don't believe that God will do that for them. They will settle for less. So when an economic crisis happens, they begin to start thinking poverty and they start just trying to survive and get by instead of thrive. And if that's where your faith is, that's exactly what will happen to you. But if you can believe God, I can guarantee you, you can prosper in a time of adversity and just the same as you can in a time of prosperity. You can sow in a year of famine and receive a hundredfold return. If you go back and study history, the people that make the biggest successes, the wealthiest people on the earth, nearly every one of them begin to start prospering during a time of downturn in the economy. When other people panicked and began to start selling things off and selling their assets for 50 cents on the dollar, these other people realized that it would eventually come back, that it's cyclical, and that they were buying. And so they were buying assets at half of what it cost. And because they didn't panic, well, then just in a brief period of time, they could sell those things for full price, doubled their money. During hard times is when millionaires are made. And yet the average person, sad to say, the average Christian is more influenced by the world and everybody's talking recession and hardship and just barely holding on. And you get into this survival mentality instead of a blessed mentality. And because of it, you get what you believe. As you think in your heart, that's the way that you are. Proverbs 23:7. I'm saying that if you don't begin to start basing your life on what God's Word says and raise your goals and say, I don't care what happens to anybody else, God has promised me that I would be blessed. Whatever I set my hand unto will prosper. And if you don't begin to start believing for that and fighting for it and fighting against the unbelief, then you're going to be just like everybody else. You know, when 9/11 happened, sad to say, a lot of Christians panicked. And a lot of Christians were unsure about where things were going. I talked to a lot of Christians who said that they would never fly again because they were afraid that the terrorists might hijack a plane or do something. You know what? That is absolute fear. And that's the way that the unbelievers, in a sense, you can understand a person that doesn't have God living on the inside of them responding that way, because their whole life is just in turmoil. The things that were normal for them are no longer normal. And I can understand an unbeliever responding in fear and saying something like, I'll never fly again, and just being paranoid. Matter of fact, the Bible even talks about this. And Jesus said that men's hearts would fail them for fear looking after the things that are happening here on this earth. You know, the earthquake in Japan, the tsunami, the radioactive stuff, all of the wars that are going on in Libya and different places around the world. A person that doesn't know Jesus, if they aren't disturbed, they aren't paying attention. Amen. Really, I mean, things in the world are getting worse and worse and worse. And I can understand a person that doesn't know Jesus just being depressed, discouraged, fearful, their hearts failing them for fear. But if you are a born-again believer, Jesus said in those same passages of Scripture that when you see earthquakes, when you see famine, when you see wars, when you see all of these things, then lift up your head and look, for your redemption draws nigh. If you were looking at things through the Word of God and not through the eyes of the evening news, but if you were letting the Word of God influence you instead of being depressed and discouraged, you would be excited. You would lift up your head and rejoice because your redemption is drawing nigh. All of these things were told. There's no reason to be fearful. Even in the midst of bad things, God is going to supernaturally take care of you. You know, the Jews went through these terrible plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. And I mean, there was darkness for 3 days. There was these plagues that killed people, put boils on people. But you know what? It was actually exciting for the people of God because, you know, on this side of the fence where the Egyptians were, all of their cows died. Over there, people got boils. Over there, it was dark and there was no daylight for 3 days. You could have thought that the world was coming to an end. But in the Israeli dwellings, there was light, not just artificial light, not candlelight. There was daylight in the dwellings of the Israelis, and it was dark outside. There was no boils on the Israelis. None of their cattle died. They went through those hard times, but it was such a miraculous provision for them that instead of being something that was bad, it was actually exciting. It was awesome to see God's supernatural provision. We live in this world, and this world is coming to an end, and there are things that are happening. And if you look at things outside of the Word of God, if you listen to the news so much that you consider yourself to be just like a person that doesn't know God, well, then yes, there's going to be turmoil and sorrow and grief and all of these things. But if we would look at things through the Word of God, you should be rejoicing. You should be praising God. You should be excited because our redemption is drawing nigh, where Jesus comes back and He's going to set everything straight. I'm just saying that, brothers and sisters, this whole concept that we have to settle for everything the same as people that don't know God is wrong. You can expect more. You should expect more. You should believe God for something better than people that don't know God. We're alive and they're dead. That's what the Bible says. We have been made alive in Christ. People that don't know Jesus are dead. They don't know what true life is. There ought to be a difference between a dead and an alive person. Amen. A friend of mine said he went into a church one time and somebody died. They called 911. The emergency crew came and they carried out half the people in the church before they found the dead person. I mean, most people in churches are so dead that you can't tell the difference between an alive and a dead person. Something's wrong with this picture. I was in South Africa holding a meeting and I had a woman write me, and she said that when I gave an invitation for people to be healed, that like 90% of the congregation came forward for healing. And she says, what's wrong with the church? She says, I go to all kinds of different meetings, and there's not this many sick people in all of these secular meetings. But you go to church, and it seems like everybody there's got something wrong. I'm not trying to condemn you if you have a sickness, some type of infirmity in your body. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that this is not God's best. This is not the plans that He has for you, Jeremiah 29:11. He has provided something better, but sad to say, most Christians aren't shooting for God's best. When I go to talking about believing for prosperity during hard times, there's a lot of Christians that will come out against me and criticize me, and they may not think it through about why they are so opposed to me telling people that God wants to prosper them, but kind of boil it down, they are afraid to get their hopes up. They say, you're going to give people false hope. You know, if you go into a hospital, the doctor's not going to tell you the best case scenario. They're going to tell you the worst case scenario. And I can understand that because our society we live in with the liability issues, you know, if you don't tell a person how terrible this could be, the potential damage, if you go into surgery, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen. If you don't make it clear, well, then you have a tremendous liability and you could be sued for everything you're worth. So I understand why they do it. But I'm saying that you go into a hospital or into a doctor, they're going to give you the worst case scenario. They're always going to do everything they can to keep you from getting your hopes up. And yet, this is the very thing you should do when you're sick. You ought to get your hopes up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you can't hope it, well, then you can't believe it. We need to get people's hopes up. And yet, our whole world system is so afraid of saying something positive. We don't want anybody to be disappointed. So just basically get people to where you expect that you're going to get the flu every year, that you're going to get a cold. Don't tell people that you can walk in divine health, that the Lord heals all of your sicknesses and all of your diseases. Teach people to accept just, you know, the normal run-of-the-mill things. Everybody's going to have these aches and pains. Everybody's going to slow down. Everybody's going to have these problems as you get older. Your eyesight has to go bad. And teach people to accept all this kind of stuff. And that way they won't be disappointed. They won't get their hopes up. They won't have that discouragement to deal with. But also, they are not going to receive God's best as long as you are just willing to settle for less than what God provided. The Scripture says that Moses was 120 years old and his natural force was not abated nor his eyesight dim. Now, Moses lived under a covenant that was not as good as ours. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it's verse 11, it says that among those that have been born of women, there was never a greater than John the Baptist. That means that John the Baptist was greater in God's opinion than Moses, than David, than Elijah, than Samson, than any of these Old Testament greats. John the Baptist was the greatest that had ever been born of a woman, and yet he said, and yet he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. If you consider yourself to be the sorriest saint that have ever lived, if you consider yourself to be the puniest Christian that has ever existed, you are greater than John the Baptist, therefore greater than Moses. And if Moses lived to be 120 years old and his natural force wasn't abated, nor his eyesight dim, then you can do that. You can live in health. You do not have to have poor eyesight. Now, am I condemning anybody who wears glasses that has less than perfect vision? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that having perfect vision and strength until the day you go to be with the Lord is better than being sick and infirm. And you don't have to be that way. You can live in God's best. And it just amazes me that people fight this. And I think the reason they fight it is because they would rather just live their days, even though they're in pain and in sorrow and in all of these other things, they would rather live it feeling like, well, there's nothing I can do and this is just my lot in life, than to sit there and resist it and run the risk of failure. This is going to be hard for some of you to believe, but I actually went into a hospital room one time and there was a guy who was paralyzed. And I don't know that he was paralyzed, but anyway, he was in a wheelchair. He couldn't walk. And I got to telling him it was God's will for him to be well. And he said, no, God made me this way. It's God's will for me to be that way. And I said, no, God's got something better for you. And I tried to get him to believe that God wanted him well. And this guy got so mad at me that he literally took a crutch and started swinging it at me, chased me out of his room, and chased me down the hall swinging his crutch at me in a wheelchair, saying, no, God doesn't want me to be well. This is God's will for me. And he got mad that I would even encourage him that God had something better. I didn't condemn him and say you're a bad person because you're in a wheelchair. I just said God's got something better. And he would not go there because to him, he couldn't face the fact of what if I try and it doesn't work. Then he would feel like a failure. And so, rather, he just accepted it and said, no, this is God's will. And that was his way of coping. I'm telling you, God has more for you than living a substandard life. Don't settle for less than God's best. That's the first step in how to receive God's best. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to get over just wanting to be like everybody else who's miserable. And you got to want something better. Boy, this is powerful. The things I'm saying, I know it's uncomfortable for some of you, but it's necessary. I got to terrify you before I can edify you, amen. I got to let you know that most of us are shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. And I want to encourage you to start believing and receiving God's best.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Mercy Santos. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Don't Settle for Less, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
While flipping TV channels in their home in Kathmandu, Nepal, Bob and Dawa Wesley stumbled across the Gospel Truth broadcast with Andrew Womack, and their lives were changed forever.
When I found out that how much God loved me and what He did for me, I started understanding the gospel, actually.
Desiring to fulfill God's call on their lives, Bob and Dawa moved to Colorado Springs and attended Charis Bible College. Then it was back to Nepal and back to work.
I started walking towards my office and I started seeing these two little boys, and their feet was cracked and, you know, their clothes were really, really dirty. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, feed them.
With that direction from God, their ministry was born, feeding the destitute boys of Kathmandu, both physically and spiritually.
I've always focused on sharing the gospel with these kids. And it is only the Word of God that changes the lives of the people. It is only the gospel.
Another changed life, changing the world. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College. Thank you.